Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 17 of Revelation chapter 3, and we're continuing to look into verse 7. We've come to the last part of the verse that says, "He that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." And we were discussing the key of David, the key that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. In our last study, we saw how the Lord used the key to open the bottomless pit or to shut up Satan in the bottomless pit, which he did at the cross and bound him for the figurative 1,000 years. How God used the key to open up that same bottomless pit to loose judgment, to loose his wrath upon the earth, as the earth now is under the judgment of God and has become a place that identifies with death and hell, as God is pouring out his wrath upon all of the unsaved inhabitants of the world. Well, now we want to look at these other words that are in this verse. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And let's start with the word openeth. God opens things as well as shuts things. Now, just as we realize, this has to be referring to the spiritual realm. God is in concern with locked vaults or places on the earth that are able to be shut and sealed or anything like that. And he's not concerned with that. The Bible's not concerned with that. God is concerned with salvation, with his elect people, and he is concerned with their entry into heaven through the door that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, he's concerned with satisfying his law and bringing justice to all of the wicked of the earth to make sure they do not enter through that same door into heaven. Remember the Lord Jesus when he spoke of why he said things in parables. Remember that answer in Matthew chapter 13. The question was asked in verse 11. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And in another place, he says in verse 15 of this same chapter of Matthew 13, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." It is not God's intention that none that Jesus died for should be converted and should be healed. It is a specific people, a particular people, whose names were recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. So God opens doors for them. He opens the portal, the entryway into the kingdom of heaven for them, the elect, and he shuts that same door to those that are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, to those that are not his elect. Now we see an example of God shutting up heaven for the unsaved, and yet continuing to shower blessings upon his people in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 4, where it says in verse 25, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." And the Lord goes on to stress this point in the next verses. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Oh, they were furious, all right. They understood what Jesus was saying. How dare he? How dare he say that God was not bringing showers of blessing to his people Israel, but rather was, instead of caring for the widows of Israel, caring for some strange widow in some city of Sidon? Or how dare he indicate that God was not concerned with cleansing Israel's lepers, but rather did cleanse Naaman the Syrian? And they got the point, all right, that God was not the God that was always blessing Israel. The Jews thought they were his holy people. They had exclusive right to the blessings of God for his miracles that he accomplished on their behalf in bringing them out of Egypt. They assumed that they only were the people of God. Well, Jesus was correcting them, and he was saying, look, God shut up the heaven upon Israel and its widows for 3.5 years, while at the same time he specifically sent his prophet Elijah to a widow woman in Sarepta, city of Sidon, outside of Israel. And, well, what can we learn from this? Well, spiritually, we see that Jesus is laying out the biblical principles that really will be the characteristic of the Great Tribulation period at the end of the world, the Great Tribulation 23-year period, which began on May 21, 1988, and concluded on May 21, 2011, was a time when God shut up heaven. He, as far as the Bible likens rain to the gospel, the word of God is what brings the blessing, the rainfall to the world. And when the Great Tribulation began, judgment began at the house of God, the Holy Spirit came out of the midst of the churches, and immediately all churches in the world came under the wrath of God. Now, the Lord had a plan for the first 2300 evening mornings, wherein virtually he was not saving anyone outside of the churches even, because this was part of his times and seasons. He could have saved a handful, perhaps. The word silence in Revelation 8:1, which applies to that time period, might allow for a few, a very, very small remnant to have been saved only outside of the churches. Once the Holy Spirit came out of the midst, it was an impossibility for anyone to be saved during those 2300 days or throughout the whole 23-year period within the churches and congregations. But perhaps God saved 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 outside of the church in the world at the beginning of that period. The Bible doesn't really tell us the answer to that. It just indicates that virtually no one was being saved anywhere in the world, but we can know absolutely no one at all was being saved in the church. It can't happen without the Spirit of God. And so it was shut up. The church was shut up during the time of the wrath of God upon it. Just as God shut up Israel for 3 years and 6 months in the days of Elijah, and there was no rain, and that produced a great famine. And the Lord tells us in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that there will be a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And so, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, this is really a verse that is laying out God's plan for the church during the Great Tribulation, where the churches and congregations will be shut up, and none of their widows will be visited by God, but instead it will be those outside of the church, typified by this widow woman of Sarepta, city of Sidon, that God will bring the gospel to. And that's exactly what happened as the Lord began to pour out the latter rain after those 2300 evening mornings in September of 1994. He evangelized the earth in a tremendous way and saved a great multitude outside of the churches. So we see God shut up the church and he opened up the windows of heaven, or a great and effectual door. You know, that's the language of the Bible. It says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, in verse 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." You see, God is able to shut up and to open. And so he opened a great and effectual door. And the word effectual means powerful. A great and powerful door, entryway into heaven through Christ in the world during the last about 17 years of the Great Tribulation, the latter rain, or the second Jubilee period. A second time he stretched out his hand and recovered the remnant of his people. And you know, when God did this, there were those in the churches that said, "Oh, no, God isn't finished with us." So they denied that the door was shut as far as they were concerned. They argued and disputed about that. And really, they were arguing and disputing with the Lord about that, because this information came forth from his word. And they also denied that there was any latter rain or a great multitude being saved outside of the churches and congregations. They dismissed that completely. And you know, that is the case. Whenever God does something in the spiritual realm, men will go contrary to the thing that God has done, because that's the nature of the natural man. He is contrary to the spirit. The spirit and the flesh do not get along. They're contrary the one to the other. And when the Lord left the churches and congregations and shut up the door to heaven against them, well, that indicated that he had very little people there. The people that he did have there, he would draw out into the world where they could then experience that blessing. And those in the churches didn't like that at all. The Lord opens and he shuts. And he does this with the gospel. It says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2 in verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord." The Lord opens up a door for his people. He has done this all through history as he evangelized the whole world with his people in the churches and congregations. He directed their steps. He indicated, all right, now, through the leading of his spirit, let's bring the gospel to this land, and let's not bring the gospel to other lands. You know, God says in the book of Acts, in Acts 16, he demonstrates how he is in utter control of the spread of his word concerning where it went and the timeline for its distribution. In Acts 16, verse 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul. In the night there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Now here we see God's working as he directs the course of his people through his Spirit. And of course, this was done in the days when God was still bringing communication, divine revelation. And so he could direct their steps very definitely by his Spirit. But of course, God still, after the Bible was completed, directed things through the movings of his Spirit in the invisible realm, as God directs the course and affairs of all men, as he orchestrates all events and controls all circumstances. God moves and wills to accomplish his purposes. And yet here, very directly, he forbid them from preaching the gospel in Asia. They were not suffered to go that way, but no, here, go into Macedonia was the Lord's leading. And so God opens certain doors of utterances, and he shuts other possibilities. He even did this during the church age, during the period when he was bringing the gospel far and wide. And we read in Colossians in chapter 4 and verse 3, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." And God did open up a door of utterance at various times and places throughout the centuries of the church ages, 1955 years. But he saved in reserve a very special time of opening up a tremendously great door of utterance for the time of the end. Because at that time of the end, it was God's plan to multiply the numbers of peoples on the earth so that they would number in the billions, and the world's population would be greater than it ever had been in its history. In fact, there would be more people living upon the earth at one time than had previously lived in all of Earth's history since the beginning. And so God planned at that time of the end to evangelize in one last tremendous sweep of the earth. And in the little season of the Great Tribulation, during a period he identifies as the latter rain, and he would save a great multitude of sinners from all the nations at that time. He also arranged to make sure that there was information that would be unleashed and open to the understanding of his people, as he commanded Daniel to seal up the word until the time of the end. And also he said in Daniel 12, verse 4, that knowledge would increase at that time, because God had a plan to reveal many truths in a great way, a tremendous way, that would be a great blessing to these people, to these souls. One of the truths was the information about the end of the church age and God's judgment upon them, and the fact that he was saving a great multitude, and other things such as the timeline for judgment day. And so the Lord, he brought all these things to bear at once. He waited for the world's population to increase to the levels that it did. He also planned at that time to unseal his word. But how, when he was finished with the churches, would he be able to reach such a large number of people that would number in the billions over the vast earth. And so the Lord made preparation and plans by also opening up to the understanding of men the electronic medium. And so over decades and even a century, the electronic medium began to develop and grow until at the proper time when all these other things were finally in place and everything now had reached the fullest extent of the time and season of God's plan. He made it possible for a small number of faithful men and women to band together through ministry and to send forth the gospel over radio and over the internet, a new electronic medium that had just opened up and exploded, and phones and in just incredible ways that a few decades earlier weren't even conceivable. Yet God brought all these things together to bear at one time because there was one last push that had to be made in the proclamation of the gospel to all the world, as he would now have his people blow the trumpet and warn the people of the sword that they were seeing on the pages of the Bible as God revealed Judgment Day would occur on May 21, 2011. He opened these things up to his people, a great door and effectual to the world, and so they encouraged souls like never before to go to the Lord, to beseech the Lord, and they brought the message far and wide, and the message of Judgment Day, the Bible's message that there is a judge, that man is a sinner, and that there is a day in which God will judge the sins of mankind, was brought to the forefront of the world's eyes in such a manner that they could not avoid. This was the first time in history that all the world at once was confronted with the Bible's sincere and earnest message of being reconciled to God due to the fact that he will judge them and has established a day to do so. And the people in America heard it, the people in Europe heard it, the people in Asia and Africa, through all continents the message went. And they heard that they had limited time to seek the Lord before he brought this decree to pass. And did what? Well, the message was, and this was very clearly declared by God's people as one, the message was, you have until that day, from whatever point that they heard it, some people heard it earlier, some maybe heard it the day before, but from whatever point, you have until that day, and on that day, God will shut the door to heaven. He has opened up this tremendous opportunity of mercy and grace, and we, as ambassadors for Christ, beseech you in his stead, be reconciled to God. Go to the Lord, cry to him for mercy. We besought people to do this time and again. Oh, won't you go? We pray desperately for our families and friends and neighbors and those we came in contact with. Oh, won't you go to the Lord before he shuts the door? And we knew that God, who had opened up a great and effectual door to all the earth, and again, there were critics of that, and many who said, oh, no, he hasn't. Those in the churches and others disputed about that, because the flesh is always contrary to the spirit. It never likes the things that God has done. And so they said, oh no, there's no latter rain. There's no great multitude. There's no tremendous work of God in saving untold numbers of individuals outside of the churches. I don't see them. And, of course, they didn't see them. Who could see what was happening in villages in India and Africa? And even if you lived in those villages, how would you know what was going on in the hearts of men and women and children? You'd have no idea. So they disputed about that. I remember having to point out the Bible's verses that, yes, God is saving a great multitude, and he's doing it now. And then, though, the day came, and God has done what he said he would do. He shut the door. And just as no man could shut the door when God had opened it, flung it far and wide to all the earth in that worldwide declaration of the day of salvation. Likewise, now that God has shut the door, we have those that are contrary to this and say, oh, no, he hasn't. How do you know he shut the door? Well, the same way we knew it was wide open and he was saving a great multitude, because the Bible tells us, and we're just doorkeepers. If God opens it wide, well, we do relish that, and we love to encourage people at that time and as a doorkeeper. But if God has shut it, well, who are we? If God shuts, no man can open. We're a doorkeeper. We're not the determiner of these things. We're not the one who says when it's open, who declares when it's closed. We just handle the door per instructions given by the Lord. And now he has said it is shut. And again, many are arguing and disputing, oh, no, it's not, because the flesh is always contrary to the spirit. But God's people look to the word of God, because it's an invisible door. We can never see it open when it was, and we don't see it shut now that it is. We look to the Bible. We don't look to earth. We don't look to the church. We don't look to people. We look to the Bible. And the Bible is the one that's telling us the time has come. The day of judgment has arrived. The day of salvation has ended. And the day of judgment is underway. And the open door goes with the day of salvation. The shut door is that which goes with the day of judgment.